Hey, kids, it's time for
Surf Shorts!
Welcome to the Surf Shorts podcast, an innovator in modern storytelling, looking towards the future, using business terms like radical, off the lip, caught inside, and totally tubular. Surf Shorts, the storytelling podcast, recorded on VHS, then downloaded to cassette for maximum audio quality. It's totally radical.
Hey everyone, as most of you know, this episode is brought to you by Outer Banks Hammocks, obxhammocks.com, handmade in the USA, two-year guarantee. They've been doing it since 1971. And when you think of OBX Hammocks, don't just think of hammocks, think of swings and chairs, stands, accessories, and outdoor furniture. obxhammocks.com has Outer Banks aluminum and resin wicker furniture, Three Birds casual teak, Pauly's Island Durawood, and Summer Classic. You can click on obxhammocks.com to find out more about their high-quality hammocks and outdoor furniture. obxhammocks.com on the web.
Surf Shorts Podcast.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Surf Shorts. Glad you listened this week. Glad you tuned in. Today I've got sitting here with me, Jonathan. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing great. No place I'd rather spend a chilly winter afternoon than sitting here with Maddie.
Awesome. Yeah, man. It's been too long. Just so people know, if you listen to the show, Jonathan and I knew each other pretty well back in the 90s, and it's a small town. You keep in touch, social media, but we never get that much FaceTime because of family people.
Yeah, not only that, but Hampstead seems farther away than it used to, I guess. So being a townie, it's a little bit of a haul to come out here.
Yeah. From Wilmington to Hampstead.
Yeah. Such a long trip.
Yeah. Now you've traveled quite a bit.
I have. I was lucky enough to spend a lot of the 90s just kind of taking surf trips, saving money, working, taking surf trips. But I had the first one was in 91, right after I graduated from NC State. I had been, you know, that was the only time I'd been away from Wilmington, 5 years at State, not four, naturally.
Yeah, exactly.
Five. And I came home and wanted to just work and surf. And I had a buddy who'd been to Maine Lamex a couple of times, probably around 89, 90. He was younger than I, William, he's younger than I am by like 2 years, but he'd already been to mainland one time. Of course, by this time I'm like 22 years old and I've never even left the country and I'm just jonesing to go on a real surf trip. The only place that ever surfed decent waves is Hatteras and Hurricanes here.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. I remember feeling before I went on my first trip, I was like, dude, what am I doing? I got to get out of the country. Yeah. If I'm going to say I'm a surfer, I've got to go make it happen somewhere else.
Absolutely. And expose yourself to some actual swell, you know, some real waves. So I'm home. I'm just managing the hammock shop, actively not seeking some type of corporate job with my business degree, avoiding that life as much as possible.
Why would a guy who surfed a lot and worked in a hammock shop want to get a different job? Doesn't make any sense.
I think I did one or two, you know, token interviews just to make my dad happy, but I was really blessed to have parents that would let me live in their garage apartment and I could pay them minimal rent and work. So I basically was working at dockside, washing dishes, and working at Jerry's washing dishes and managing the hammock shop, which isn't a big job, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, but, so we're talking about Jerry's Food, Wine, and Spirits.
Yes, Jerry's,
right. Before Jerry Allen opened his restaurant.
Yeah, Jerry's Food, Wine, and Spirits.
So yeah.
William said, hey, we're going to Mex in July. You want to go? And I said, naturally, I want to go.
Yeah. And July probably wasn't the best time to leave the hammock shop. You guys were probably weaving wide open by that point in time, right?
I guess so. But things were not exactly, just wasn't that busy. And Clark had other people there working for him that everything's taken care of. But he knew my MO. My MO was to save some money and get out of town and go surfing.
Yeah. And I went in the hammock shop several times. Like, and I can tell you, this is not a corporate setting. It is, you know, most of us think, oh, surf shop, that's pretty laid back. Well, hey, hammock shop, you know, we're laying down also.
it looked much the same as it did in those days. And the appeal was, it's kind of contract labor. You say, go in there and make 10, 20 hammocks a week. And if the surf is good, well, you can work in the evening or in the morning. If it's better in the afternoon, you can kind of put it around that offshore wind and tide if you need to.
Yeah.
But William asked me if I wanted to go to Mexico with him. And I'm like, sure. I think he'd been to Pasquale's in Nexpa. once or twice before. So that was kind of the plan. With us was also Randy. I'm still no last name.
Yeah, you're doing great. People listening, usually by this point in time, I'm like, oh, I got to edit that.
Well, Randy, he had been a boogie boarder. He's also from Wilmington. All these guys are Wilmington natives. And James, who I think you had on before.
Sure.
And Randy and William. And Randy had been a boogie boarder before, but he's a very good goofy foot surfer now. They're all better surfers than I am.
Yeah.
I've heard you mention that you're not a great surfer. I'm a big dude. And I'm not the most limber person, so with a little bit of juice, I can ride a wave.
Well, I thought about this earlier when we were talking about doing this interview. When you and I first started surfing together, you were injured. This is a long time ago. You had hurt your hip or your back, right?
Well, this kind of happened later. So I basically had, as the doctors would call it, congenitally inverted labrum. So my hips were rotting without my even knowing it. So sometime in my mid-30s later, I had to have both hips replaced. So I've had both of my hips replaced, one in 08, one in 13. They both work fine now. I can surf again, but it's a little difficult with a toe that I broke playing basketball in the 90s, which kind of flares up. Anyway, mm-hmm. I try to get in the water. It's tough this time of year. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the wetsuit, but
yeah.
In those days, no, I didn't, I was just big and dopey like I am now, just clunky, If I get one good wave out of 10, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us feel that way, but it must be really satisfying, to be a big, strong dude riding East Coast waves, and you're riding this mush, and especially in the 90s, the boards were bad. And we could talk about that for 3 hours. But when you go to Mexico, yeah. Something's actually helping you.
Yeah, this was before I got the 7.2 Charlie Baldwin from you guys at Burt's that I bought because I wanted to teach Kristen how to surf, and she kind of wanted to learn. That never really happened, but all of a sudden I had a 7.2 with a little volume, and like, oh my gosh, this is what I've needed. Not all these potato chips off the rack that Slater's shredding on, and I can only ride when it's double overhead and perfect, and then barely even then, so... I can't remember what boards I took to Mexico. I think Clark had an old board that he gave me. It was like a 7.2 single fin that came from the classical glass or natural art surf shop that Jim from a two wheeler dealer owned on the beach. It was a classic board. I was like, hey, I'm going to ride this. And,
Jim's ridden some waves. If it was his surfboard, it's some action.
Clark had given it to him. Clark is the former owner of the hammock shop, one of the guys that was surfing at Wrightsville Beach in the 70s before I ever really got on board with it. So I took that, and I think I had maybe a Dave Indris. I really a 6.5 Indris that had a little beef to it.
Yeah.
It basically buckled in my hands as I was trying to duck dive a wave at Pasquale's. But
Dave was a really good surfboard shaper. I don't think a lot of people realize how good he was at shaping surfboards.
And I love the Enders board that I had.
I talked to Jim on an earlier episode who owned Sweetwater, and he filled me in and I did some research. But Dave went out to California when he was learning to shape and tutored under Clyde Beatty. So I mean, that's pretty legit.
No doubt. We got some good shapers here on the East Coast.
For sure.
Yeah. So we get on a plane and we fly, I think, to Manzanillo. And I do have one really distinct memory from this plane because, I had my bag of cassettes in my Walkman. Right. So I get on the plane and I'm sitting next to James. I'm still at this point kind of a classic rock. I'm getting into the reggae side of things and Allman Brothers type stuff, but I'm generally a rock and roll kind of person. And James hands me this tape. He's like, "Listen to this." I'm like, "What is it?" He said, "Just listen to it." And I put it in. I press play, and it's like the police coming straight from the underground. And I'm like,
"NWA."
Yeah, it was NWA. And I was like, "What?" And I heard rap songs before, like Run DMC, and I was like, "Holy moly, what is this?" So James, kind of turned me on to NWA on the plane. But, we got down there and we got on a bus from Manzanillo, I guess, and went to Colima and spent a few days at Pasquale's, which is Pasquale's is there. I get these trips confused because 91 and 92. So the real destination in 91 was going to be next, but that's where we really wanted to go. Stopped because we stopped for a while at Pasquale's. We got there, and Bruce and Melanie, were on the beach at Pasquale's. I don't know if you know Bruce. He's a major waterman, fisherman,
from
diver.
This area.
Yeah, diver, surfer. And he was a boogie boarder at that time, and he was out there boogie boarding Pasquale's. I didn't even know he was down there.
A lot of people boogie boarded at that time. It was more popular than it is now.
Yeah, I'm probably going to revert back to it.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
I really want to get into body surfing, but that, like you said, that's another story.
Yeah.
So we get down there, and there's a guy named Marty. He's like he's in his 50s, and he rents palapas to people to surfers at Pasquale's. So it was really, I mean, I'd never seen anything like, you know, double overhead.
Yeah. This is a new experience.
This is a new experience. Just cracking barrels. And I'm not really a good barrel rider or anything. The one thing that really stands out from that, those few sessions, because we only stayed in Pasquale's for a couple of days. And then we got on another bus and went down to Nexpa, to Coletta and Nexpa. But we stayed there for a couple of days, and one of the things that really stuck out to me was James surfing, because James is always good. And he's taller than I am. He's a big dude too.
I've never surfed with James.
He shreds. It's ridiculous.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, but I distinctly remember he dropped in on this huge right. And it was a beach break, but most people went right there. He backdoored a section, like it literally, you could see it breaking in front of him, and he came out the other side. At the time, you were like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And there was hardly any people there. But I don't, from that trip to Pasquale's, it was really just kind of like a precursor to just, we stopped there for a few days to try to get some barrels before we went down to Nexpa and Tikla, actually. And Tikla is another right left-hand point break that is between Pasquale's and Nexpa. And at some of the, you know, the next year we went, we had some things. I went with a photographer and he got some things published, but we're getting on the bus to go to Coletta, where we get off and like they drop you at the end of the road and you walk down to the spot at Nexpa. And the bus trip was pretty bouncy, like your typical Latin America bus trip, you know, mm-hmm. you know, livestock everywhere and that kind of thing. And I had a little bit of trouble like keeping, you know, I wasn't used to the food either. So sure, things were kind of passing right through me.
Yeah. Food and the water they cook it in.
Yeah. So when we stopped at Coletta, things had already passed right through me.
It was a rough trip.
It was a very rough trip. No doubt. No doubt. All that aside, all the searching for bathrooms aside, when that tiny little town of Coletta, you know, we finally made it to Nexpa, and good swell running, first time out. We just paddle out. There's a couple of guys there from Texas, maybe not a big crew at all. And just a few little huts, palapas, you know, or palapas or huts. That's what they call a hut. And the first day we went out, it's a big, I think I heard Jimmy call the shore break something, but we called it a body womp. The shore break was just nasty. And you know, there's pebbles in it and little stones in it. And it's a tough place to, you need to paddle in at the right place. So the first time we went out there, we paddled out, and I'm always the last person to catch a wave in, probably because I'm not the best surfer of anybody in my group.
You feel like you may be catching less waves.
Yeah. I don't know. And those guys, everybody was getting dark, and then it just started pouring down rain, and I'm out, and it was an exhilarating feeling, yet kind of a scary feeling as well. So I'm out there, and all my buddies have gone in. I'm the last one out there trying to catch a wave in, and this huge rainstorm comes, and the rain's just falling down, and I'm just looking around like, okay, I need a wave.
How far out are you?
Well, you know, there's the wave, it's not that far off the point. Like right. if you're next to the point, you can just kind of, if you time it right, you can paddle out right there, and it's just, you know, a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
And then it breaks down into this little bay. So finally caught a wave in. But when we stayed there, we met some guys from Texas. They were pretty cool. I got turned on to Primus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now you're really dating this trip right now. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. They played at the Mad Monk.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah.
I did not see that show. I didn't. These guys from Texas, super nice guys. And it's funny how East Coast surfers are. I mean, one of the guys we met in Texas, we ran into him in St. Thomas like 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that is super funny.
Yeah, I did that in El Salvador. I met a guy and ran into him in Ecuador like 5 years later.
Yeah,
That's another good story. But so I think one of the most memorable things from this trip was, so Don Hilby was the old man who ran the camp. And I think Jimmy was probably mentioning Jorge. I think Jorge was Don Hilby's son or his nephew, but Don Hilby was the old man.
They owned the land there.
Yeah, I guess so. And you know, so we just, you string up your palapas, you string up your hammocks in the palapa and it's just dirt floor and that's it. Anything you have, you light some candles or flashlights or whatever, but it's super primitive. It was about $3.50. A night, I think, to stay there, something like that, or maybe 3,000 pesos, which might have been $1.50. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm not big on the exchange rates in those days, but it was a super cool spot. And so we were in there in our palapa one day. One of the guys looks up in the corner of the palapa, and he's like, "Look at that!" And there's a freaking massive wasp nest or hornet's nest out there. And I don't know how many Spanish speakers are out there, but Don Hilby would come in every morning just to check on us, you know, wearing the exact same pants and shirt that he wore every day, probably his whole life.
Yeah.
And he would, and my Spanish was definitely not that good back in the, this is, you know, these trips inspired me to become a Spanish teacher.
Sure.
You being a teacher had something to do with that. It's true.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Kristen was like, "Oh, maybe you should be a teacher." She's like, "Matt's doing it." I'm like, okay.
It can't be that hard if Matt's doing it.
Yeah, I can go back to school. I can become more fluent in Spanish and I can get a job where I have my summers off and I might even make $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
I'll be in the money.
Maybe. North Carolina. Hey, we're still shooting for that. Hey, maybe.
So Don Hilby, every morning he'd walk in and be like, Está bien? Yeah, that was, he was asking.
Está
bien? And I would look at it, William, and I'm like, also what?
Yeah,
because I thought he was saying "también."
Yeah,
also. He's like, "Está bien." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
you're saying good. Is everything okay? And I was like, "Oh, well, you know," and my Spanish was terrible. I was like, "Señor, allí." Yeah. You know, I'm pointing up there to the corner of the palapa, allí. And Don Hilby, he's like, "Oh, okay, dame un momento." He's like, "Give me a minute." So he walks back to his to the restaurant or something. He comes back with this huge machete. Which, everybody in Mexico has a machete, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody in Mexico has a machete for cutting up your coconuts or whatever, or, you know, building houses.
Like, sure.
Dude, I saw some dudes in El Salvador literally notching out the beams for the roof of the house that an American was building with their machetes. Like the whole crew. They're building the house with machetes.
Yeah.
It's insane. So Don Hilby comes back. "Está bien?" I was like, Yes, we're still good. But it's all there. He comes back in with his machete and he just walks to the corner of the palapa. And I don't know what kind of wasps or hornets they were, but without blinking, without saying anything, he just reaches up with his machete and just starts freaking hacking away at this thing.
Oh my God.
We're like, So, I mean, just a couple of chops, you know, two or three chops of the machete. Get it down. But as he's doing it, man, they're landing on it. Like, and I'm talking like, go find the best leather couch you can find with the, just, you know, the richest, most tough leather. That's Don Hilby's skin, right? So he's chopping down, he's hacking down the wasp nest and they're like landing on him and stinging him. And he's just brushing them off like it was nothing.
I would have been running.
Well, we all ran out of the palapa. Yeah, we all ran out, and I was just looking at the other guys. I was going like, "What in the world is going on here?" But that, you know, that kind of blew my mind. It's kind of interesting that I didn't even know that they would be doing surf contests in Mexico, much less deep in the heart of Michoacán in mainland Mexico in Nexva. Mm-hmm. But as luck would have it, there's a surf contest while we're there. I don't know about luck, but so we had walked across the river mouth to surf the beach break because it was firing. One day. And it was a very, you know, one of those river mouths. You could just kind of walk right across. No problem.
Yeah.
And we had those little cameras that you, those little waterproof throwaway cameras with a strap that you wrap around your arm.
400 was film speed, 400 Kodak plastic cameras. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we took these on every surf trip in the 90s, but that was kind of how you took pictures unless you were like a professional. So I'm over there taking pictures and catching some waves. It was great. I had a great time. I caught a few waves. The best picture I took, and I was paddling back out, and James dropped in on this big, beautiful left, and I caught this, just took a great picture of him. And when we got home, I guess I sent it to Terry. I don't know what happened, but Terry published it in Juice Magazine.
Yeah.
It was the inside cover where the
table, I remember that.
Where the table of contents was, and there's James just – doing a big bottom. No, actually, I think it was a picture James took of me. That would be the only picture of me ever in a surf magazine. I can't even remember.
I remember because we talked about the picture, and I had written articles in that magazine.
Yeah. So I now that I think about it, I'm not really sure if it was me or if it was James, but clearly the Mexicans knew that James was the best surfer of all of us. I mean, William's really good too, Randy. They're all good, but James is quite, you know, he shreds. He's quite stylish. So James comes in before we do, and William and Randy and I stay out for a little bit longer at the beach break. And when we come in, we see there's the beach break. We see James, and he's got like a Heineken in his hand, and he's wearing a tank top that says Rio Nexpo with a little scorpion on it. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, oh, they're I'm judging their content. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So James got, you know, he got free Heinekens, and I think we all got the little Nexpo t-shirts. But James was like judging the contest.
What level contest was
I
this?
I'm sorry to say, Matt, my memory is
yeah. Well, wasn't
my memory is not what it used
wasn't
to
be. A top tier ASP contest. It was, well, I don't know if in those years there was a Bud Tour at that time. Could have been a Bud Tour.
It was absolutely a Mexican Surfing Association.
Contest. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I got you.
It was a fully local or regional contest.
Yeah,
because it was basically some Mexican kids.
Uh huh.
And because I think surfing kind of blew up down there in the late 70s and 80s, and it got really popular.
Yeah,
I'm frankly quite surprised there haven't been more Mexican, you know, surfers that kind of made
it. Yeah, that is a little bit surprising. I never thought about that. I do have one last question about that trip.
Yes.
The first place where the barrels were, James backdoored it. You guys are at Pasquale's.
Yeah, Pasquale's.
You said that you had one of Jim's old boards. It was a single fin. I mean, I think some people may be imagining you're talking about a longboard, but you're talking about an older tube rider style.
It was
right?
Like, well, I didn't even attempt to take it out there. I rode it at Nexpo because it was like a 70s style single fin.
Yeah. I mean, those are so thick. Good in the barrel.
Yeah.
The teardrop shape.
But you have to have the skill to get in the barrel. and I'm telling you, man, Pasquale's did not play. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. I was definitely over my head there.
Yeah.
And I was very happy when we went to Nexpo because it was just day after day after day of just easy, smooth lefts and just rivable and, you know, breaking like, you know, halfway down the face, maybe not really any barrels, but you know, James could handle that kind of surf. I was just, I'd never gotten that good. And I'd spent 5 years in Raleigh.
Yeah. And it was also your first time out of the country.
First time ever out of the country. Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, the biggest surf I'd ever had was like maybe double overhead at Hatteras. And so, I mean, that, it was the cultural experience more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just what opened my eyes. I mean, you see these kids running around, they're dirt poor, they're, you know, smile on their face all day long. And I mean, it just blew my mind and opened my mind. I mean, travel is the best education. Really.
It is. Well, dude, thanks. I appreciate the story. I appreciate you coming and we'll have you back again.
All
thanks
right.
a bunch, brother.
Appreciate it, Matt.
All right. All right.
Surf Shorts Podcast.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Surf Shorts this week. We really do appreciate it. I've got a couple things to say about this week's episode. Number one, that 7.2 natural art Jonathan was talking about riding in Mexico that he got from Jim at Two Wheeler Dealer. Dude, those things were amazing at riding the tube. If you've never ridden a 70s tube rider, you really need to try it on a day that's kind of steep, because with that really wide nose and narrow tail, it pushes you right over the ledge and right into the pocket. And it's just I'd really like to have a modern version of one of those. That'd be really cool. Another thank you I'd like to send out really is to Terry at Juice Magazine. Juice Magazine is a skateboard magazine now. It's on the web, juicemagazine.com. But I have so many great memories from Juice Magazine, and the episode where Jonathan is on the inside cover, I also believe is the episode where Terry let me do the review for the new Sublime album that was coming out. And it turned out to be the last Sublime album. The media world worked very differently back then, and she got me an advanced copy of Sublime's last CD, and I got to write the review. And then I think by the time the magazine came out, Bradley had already died. So it's a crazy memory from my youth. Another shout out to those 400 speed plastic Kodak disposable cameras we used to take out into the lineup. Anybody that's over 40, you know what I'm talking about, man. They took some great pictures. I'd also like to send a thank you and hello to all my friends who raced the Daytona Supercross this weekend, the Ricky Carmichael Amateur Supercross after the Big Boy Supercross Saturday night. All my son's friends and all my personal friends, I hope you guys had a great time. It's a great experience. If any of you out there are also dirt bike racers like our family is, you might really consider doing that race. It's just something else. In case you missed it in social media last week, Carter Dorley, who's Carter Catches Waves on Instagram, Carter has surpassed 1,000 days in a row. He's finally pulled it off. He got a lot of really great shout outs from Kai Lenny and other big time people in the surf industry. And I'm really proud of that kid. He's a great kid. And he also raised money for charity along the way. We are going to have a Savage Surfboard giveaway. We're going to do that for our subscribers. Keep listening, and you have a really good chance of winning a brand new Savage Surfboard. Thanks so much to OBX Hammocks or Outer Banks Hammocks. You can find them on the web at obxhammocks.com. Outer Banks Hammocks for the ultimate lay. Please check us out on our YouTube channels. We've got a really bunch of cool shorts out there that are really quick clips from the show, Surf Shorts Podcast on YouTube. And I'm also releasing some full episodes of the show, just so you can see the studio if you want to do that for some reason. So check us out on YouTube, Instagram at Surf Shorts Podcast, TikTok, I Swear I'm Not Dancing, and Facebook. Surf Shorts Podcast, we're out this week. Thank you so much to all our subscribers for our thousands of downloads. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. All right, y'all, listen. I say surf, you say shorts. Surf.
Shorts.
Surf.
Shorts.
I say... wait a minute. I think that pretty much covers it.